Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I hope that you will indulge me for just a second and let me take this all in. And the reason is simple. By the way, Paul, you shouldn't have made me cry before my preacher. I just want to take this all in. And the reason is the Poto Church don't know me except for Paul. But I have known and I have loved the Poto Church for a long, long time. And the reason is because of two great men of God who are heroes of mine. The first one is Phil Powers. I got to know Phil a long time before you did. I knew Phil because in Illinois, he was a preacher at Wood River, and he was my homiletics teacher. And when I was in school. And so he taught me a lot of things. He taught me how to do an outline, and he taught me how to speak. He taught me not to use words that aren't pulpit appropriate. And he taught me how to hitch up my pants. Because for those of you who remember Phil, that was one of the things. We called him a banny rooster. Because he would get on a roll, and he would teach his kids, me, kid. He would teach me to get on a roll, and when you get on a roll, you just got to hitch your pants up, you know, and that was Phil. And I loved Phil, and when I was at Pleasant Valley, Phil was here. And one of the great honors of my life was he invited me here one day to teach a VBS adult class. And I was so proud. And Phil being Phil, he couldn't resist. He took my notes and gave me an A. And I was very happy about that. I love Phil Powers. He always spoke so well of the Poto Church. And he loved you so much that I learned to love you even though I had never met you. Second hero of mine is Paul Fletcher. He did an outstanding job introducing me. He did it just like I wrote it. And I'm teasing. Paul is being entirely too humble when he said the things that he said. I love Paul. I always have. Well, most of the time, I love Paul. Paul came to us, and he was, like he said, he was very rough around the edges. But he had this diamond inside. And Paul has gifts from God. That, by the way, you can ignore this part. He has gifts from God that only God can give. And I wish that God had given me the gifts that he gave Paul Fletcher. Right after Paul came to Pleasant Valley, we had staff meetings. And jokingly, we said that's where all us germs would get together. And we would have staff meetings. And one day, we decided that we would eat lunch. You don't remember this, but we decided that we would eat lunch during our staff meeting. So Paul, being the junior member of the staff, we sent him to Subway. And then we waited. And we waited. And we waited. And we waited. And finally, 3 hours later, Paul came back, and he didn't have any sandwiches, but he brought the Subway lady back and baptized her. You cannot teach that, Paul. I did not have anything to do with that. That was a gift from God, and he's been my hero. Even though he probably doesn't know that, he is one of my heroes. And you've been good to him. And for that reason, I love this church. Let's pray together. Father, we love you today. Father, we just want to do your will. We just want to be your people. And we just want to praise you with our lives. But before we can do anything, Father, we have to hear the call. And we have to listen to the admonition. So, Father, today, help us to hear your voice. May your Spirit be with us. Help us, Father, today to learn the lesson. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With all those things said, we are looking today at Mark chapter 1. If you brought your Bible, I would encourage you to open it there. I'm going to be reading, and Paul, I notice that both of us are wearing glasses, and I'm wearing hearing aids, so. Mark chapter 1 is a passage that many people simply overlook because we're in a hurry to get to the good stuff, and we're in a hurry to get to the miracles, and so many times we just miss this, and we don't listen to the admonition, but listen to Jesus. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, I'm in verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Use your imagination with me this morning. It's about 30 AD. You're in a place where this Jesus has come. It is a small Palestinian village, but in this village there's a synagogue, and you've been going to church there ever since you were a baby. And in this place, the elders have told you stories about the relationship between God and his people. And they've told you what your faith should be about. They've told you how great this nation used to be. The preacher talks a lot about the good old days when Israel was at her best. She was the greatest, the richest, the biggest, the strongest. She was the nation that God himself chose. You remember the stories about Abraham and Saul and David and Solomon. Then the preachers tell about the fall of this great nation. 1,000 years ago, they began to lose their way, and they began to lose their spiritual nature that had made them so great. He tells how this great nation split into two, and how the northern nation went off into captivity, and then captivity never to be a nation again. With tears in your eyes, you hear him talk about the southern kingdom and how the southern kingdom had also lost their way, and how God allowed one captor after another to come and take that nation away. And what had been the greatest nation on the face of the earth, because God had been with them, now struggled for their very identity. You happen to look out the window, and even today you see the Roman guards. They are like leeches and like locusts upon your land. And you know deep in your heart that you are no better than a slave. Yet deep in your heart, you've gotten the message, and you've heard what God had to say to his people, and how he said, if you just hold on, if you just hang on for a little while, I'm going to send you a leader, and he's going to be like Moses. And he's going to call all of his people back together, and he's going to be the promised Messiah. And you've seized on to that faith. Oh, there's been many who also seized on to that faith. No telling what the number is who claimed to be the Messiah and took a bunch of people out into the desert only to die in the desert. And yet, the preachers keep preaching. There's one coming who will be like Moses, and he will be the Messiah, and he will lead your people, and your faith is strong. Now it's AD 30, and here comes another man in the wilderness, and he's calling, and he's powerful, and maybe he's the Messiah. Maybe he's the one. And you get your hopes up, and you go out, and you find out, and this man named John says, no, it's not me. Oh, but just wait. Because one's coming. God is sending one whose sandals I am not even worthy to tie. Just hang on. He's a coming. He's a coming. Do you feel the excitement building? Do you feel what they felt? He is coming. And so into this scene steps Jesus. When you see Jesus, you see someone who is filled with authority and control. You see his awesome power and his great wisdom. And with all of that background, Jesus steps into the picture. And rather than preaching a great sermon, his words are simple. Rather than preaching a great sermon, he simply says, follow me. Follow me. And that is the call for you and me today. Follow me. Just like Andrew and James and John and Peter, follow me. Now, I don't know what their motivation was in following the call. Sometimes it was good and sometimes it was bad. Sometimes it was politically oriented and sometimes it was spiritual. Sometimes it was great and sometimes it was not so great, but the call remained the same. The call was, follow me. You got to be impressed with Jesus' patience, don't you? I mean, look at who's preaching today. Look who did the introduction. You remember how I said sometimes I say things that aren't pulpit appropriate? That was one of them. But seriously, you've got to be impressed with the patience of Jesus, because I don't know you, but I know me. And I know who I am. And I know my good moments and my bad moments and my strong moments and my weak moments. But the one thing I know that is never, ever, ever to be taken back is Jesus said, follow me. And I did. Ah, you know, Jesus loves you even when. Look at these guys. Look at these guys. You'd think that 12 people who hung out with Jesus and who answered the original call would somehow be better and special and more like Jesus and less like me. But not them. And I'm glad. Amen. You know why? Because I can relate to them. And Jesus never said, get lost. The call was the same. Follow me. On your good days, on your bad days, on your weak days, on your strong days, the call is still follow me. Whew. That'd preach. Jesus loves you. Even when you make a U-turn in your life, even when you're not as strong as you should be, even when you don't stand up for the right like you should, the one thing you can take to the bank is the call remains the same. Follow me. Now, why didn't Jesus just make them follow the call? What good would that be? Jesus allowed the struggle, and he still does. Because we learn in the struggle the value of following Jesus. I've learned more on my bad days than I ever did in my good ones. And I learned the value in my bad days of the call, follow me. Because who else can we follow? But oh, I don't always have those good days. That's why I'm glad this story's here. Because my days aren't always good. But neither was Peter's. Anybody else relate to Peter? I do. And you know why? Peter had size 10 sandals and a size 11 mouth. Now, that's an estimation. But I love that. Because that's me. My wife will tell you I'm far from perfect. That's me. That's me. I need to have a podiatrist on call just to get my foot out of my mouth. That's me. And here's Peter. And oh, have you ever noticed that sometimes Peter just got too big for his britches? You ever noticed that? I did. Jesus goes to Peter and he shares with him. And Jesus, you know, is in pain. You know Jesus is having a hard time because Jesus sees the cross that Paul talked about this morning. The cross is there. It's in the future and it's not very far off. And he's trying to prepare his disciples. And he tells his disciples, I'm going to have to go and I'm going to have to die. And the Romans are going to take me and I'm going to be crucified. And Peter looks at him and here's Peter too big for his britches. Peter says, not so, Lord. Now, I've done a lot of things in my life, but I've never tried to rebuke Jesus. Peter did. Peter did. And Jesus rebuked him right back. But the call never changed. Even when Peter got too big for his britches, just like we do sometimes. Even when Peter got too big for his britches, the call remained the same. Follow me. And the same thing's true of us. Oh, we get too big for our britches sometimes. But Jesus doesn't quit on us. He doesn't leave us. The call remains the same. Follow me. Now, when he says, follow me, it's never going to be easy. I've had it. I've had it up to here with preachers telling me that following Jesus is somehow supposed to be easy. It's not. It's not. Because there's a cross that we're carrying. It's not. I've had it with people who tell me that if I give this much, that God will make me rich. I think God's got better things in store than that. And I've had it. Because when Jesus says, follow me, he's saying, follow me instead of something else. For example, when he says, follow me, he says, follow me instead of popularity. I work at a job and I love my job. LaDonna works at the same job. I don't know if she loves it as much as I do, but probably not. But I love my job. I really do. I love my job. But there's a constant pressure in working in the world to be popular, to stop saying things about Jesus, to shut up. But that's not the call. The call is follow me. Even when you're not popular doing it, we count the cost. And I know that I can be popular, but I know popularity won't get me to heaven. Amen. Only Jesus will. And so he says, follow me. When you're popular doing it, great. I hope to be. I hope I'm not obnoxious about it. I hope people don't run when they see me coming. But the call is the same. Follow me. Even if it means you're not going to be popular. Oh, he says, follow me instead of power. Oh, we are a power-hungry people. We are a power-hungry people. But I learned to live when I learned one simple lesson. When it comes to the kingdom of God, there's only one who has the power. And I learned a lot about life and a lot about the king. By the way, how long do I have? Okay. I learned a lot about the Lord and a lot about the kingdom when I finally came to the conclusion that he's God and I'm not. But the call is the same. Because there's not a lot of power in carrying your cross. There's not a lot of power in being a servant. And yet Jesus still calls. Follow me. Follow me. Money calls. Oh, I know that. Money calls. That's why we have so much health and wealth prosperity gospel going around today. Because money talks. But I didn't become a Christian to become rich. I sure didn't become a preacher to get rich. Amen. We'll talk about a raise later. But this world is all about money. And yet Jesus said, store up your treasures in heaven. Amen. Where moth and rust will not consume. And where thieves do not break in and steal. The call is follow me. Even if I take a financial hit, the call is follow me. Follow me instead of pleasure. We live in a pleasure-saturated world today. Have you ever noticed for every good thing that God has, Satan has a counterfeit? Have you ever noticed that? Pleasure, immorality. Happiness, drinking. I mean, for every good thing God has, Satan has a counterfeit. And he will always convince you that the counterfeit is just a little bit easier. And you don't have to follow. And yet the call remains the same. Follow me. Follow me. And if you forget everything else that I've said, remember this. When Jesus calls, and he does today, When Jesus calls and he says, follow me, he is calling from where you are right now. The disciples, where were they? They were living their lives. And Jesus called them from where they were. And the same thing is true with us today. Paul and I have discussed this. And it's one of the silliest things that we've ever heard say when we teach somebody the gospel. We teach somebody the gospel, and what they will say, or what some will say invariably, is I'll follow Jesus when I get cleaned up. I'll follow Jesus when I get cleaned up. Listen, that's not the call of Jesus. Jesus isn't calling you when you get yourself all cleaned up. He's calling you from where you are right now. And I don't know where you are. I don't know you. So I can be blunt. But I was a drug addict, and God called me from where I was. Because God didn't wait. Jesus doesn't wait. It is silliness to think that you're going to get cleaned up enough to impress God. That is just downright silliness. And it is just absolute conceit. On my best day, I'm not worth Jesus. Amen. On my best day, I'm not worth the cross. On my best day. And I thank God, and so should you, that Jesus doesn't wait for us to meet with some sort of great accomplishment before we are worthy to come. The call is simple. We've made it complicated. Religion has made it complicated. But the call of Jesus is simple. The call is two words. Follow me. Do it today. Don't wait until you get cleaned up. Don't wait till you look better. Don't wait till you lose weight. Please. Don't wait until you get a better job or you become more popular or you become more powerful. That's not the call. The call is from a loving God who knows us as we are and loves us anyway. Amen. Follow me. That's it. Thank you for letting me be here. It was wonderful. And I love the way you paid attention, and I love the fact that you've let me come here. It's been a dream of mine for years, and you've let me do this. I can take this off my bucket list now. But in all seriousness, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what you're dealing with, but I do know the call. And Jesus is calling. He may be calling to you today. Where you're at, warts and all, call him. Just follow me. Just follow me. Because if you follow me today, you'll end up where I'm at. In my Father's house is many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't that great? I go to prepare a place for you. So that where I am, there you may be also. Follow me. Because if you follow him here, you'll end up where he's at. And I can't wait. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation today, we invite you to come. While together we stand and sing.